there are 8 occasions during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus when he commented upon the faith of individuals. And out of those 8 times, twice he referred to faith, their faith, as being great faith. We looked at the first occasion in the example of the centurion. And now in this chapter, the second occurrence is found. Verse 28, Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. 8 times he referred to the faith of individuals. And twice, during those, or through those 8 times, only twice did he describe their faith as being great. The faith of the centurion, and now the faith of the woman of Canaan, whose daughter was grievously vexed by an evil spirit. And now the Lord is commenting upon this woman's faith, and she is described as having great faith. I think it should be noted that in both cases, the individuals concerned were not Israelites. The centurion was a Roman, and here this woman was a woman of Canaan. She was a Canaanite, a woman from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. They were outside the stock of Jacob. They were not of the house of Israel. Both examples of great faith were unveiled in places where it would have been least expected. The Lord did not say to any of the house of Israel that they had great faith. The people that he said this to did not belong to the stock of Jacob. And surely it enforces the point that we ought never to despise any place or any person as being beyond the reach or the potential of the grace of God. The brightest gems are dug from the darkest mines. We should never look upon any place being beyond the reach of grace. We should never look upon any person, no matter where they're from, no matter what their background is, no matter what their spiritual condition is, we should never look upon them being beyond the reach of grace. Because here we have 2 examples of people who were born outside of the nation of Israel, outside of the commonwealth of Israel, and all the benefits and all the advantages that belonged to that commonwealth. They are born outside of it. And yet, the Lord comments in relation to these 2 individuals upon the greatness of their faith. Surely it teaches us never to underestimate the grace of God. We should never underestimate the power of the grace of God. The Lord Jesus looked upon this Canaanitish woman and he said, woman, great is thy faith. Now furthermore, by way of introduction, we must not miss the one who is commenting on this woman's faith. Not only the woman and her origin, her nationality and her background, but we must see the one who is commenting on her faith. It is the Lord himself, and he describes this woman's faith as great. That ought to immediately arrest us and grip our attention. Christ not only recognized that she had faith, but he described that faith as great. And there's only one other person during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus who is described as having great faith. The Lord did not say that to the disciples. In fact, on occasions, the Lord said to them that their faith was little. Their faith was little. But here is a woman who the Lord identifies not only as having faith, but faith that is great. And surely, when the Lord tells us that someone's faith is great, then we should take notice. We should take notice. It is the Lord himself who is singling out this woman, and he's saying that her faith is great. Therefore, if the Lord has pointed this out, we should be giving the greatest attention to look at this woman and see what the Lord found in her. Isn't it interesting that the disciples did not recognize her faith? In verse 23, when the Lord answered her not a word, she went to the disciples. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." The disciples didn't see her faith. All they saw was this woman who was really an annoyance to them. This woman who was pestering them. That's all they saw. They didn't see her faith. They didn't recognize that this woman had faith, nor did they recognize that the faith she had was great faith. The disciples missed it completely. They missed it entirely. And they came to the Lord and they said, "Lord, send her away. She cries after us. She's pestering us. She's annoying us. Send her away, Lord." They missed it. They missed it. And if the disciples fail to see great faith when it stirred them in the face, how much the more should we take heed when the Lord publicly and unmistakably identifies great faith? Even the disciples missed it. Even the disciples failed to see that this woman had great faith. So when the Lord points out somebody who has great faith, and men like the disciples didn't recognize it and didn't see it, when the Lord points out such a woman, we should be arrested all the more. We should be interested all the more. We should have our attention focused on this woman who had great faith. For the Lord is holding her forth as an example and as an illustration and as an encouragement to us. Well then, what is great faith? This faith that the Lord points out. What is great faith? Well, you'll notice in the first place it is a faith undeterred by present adversity. A faith undeterred by present adversities. This woman's faith was manifested by her action in coming to the Lord. Behold, in verse 22, look at this. "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him." That's the manifestation of her faith. She's coming to the Lord. And she's coming to the Lord because she has a problem. An adversity has befallen her. An adversity that is great. She's afflicted by an evil spirit in the life of her daughter. Her daughter is grievously vexed with a devil, with an evil spirit. You see the situation that she's in? Adversity has come upon her life. She is sorely afflicted. Not only has this touched her daughter, but it has touched the mother and it has touched the whole family. And now she's bringing it to the Lord. She's bringing her daughter to the Lord. She's bringing her problem to the Lord. She comes on behalf of her daughter. And she came with the faith that he could deliver her. Her faith was undeterred by the greatness of the problem that she faced. She did not look at her situation and sink in despair. She did not reason that her situation, her circumstance was hopeless and beyond remedy. Yes, it was a terrible situation. It was an adverse situation. It was one that brought great pain, a mother's heart broken as she sees the life of her daughter wrecked and ruined by the presence of this evil spirit vexing her daughter. Here is a terrible problem. Here is a great adversity. Here is a great heartache that she has, a great burden. But she did not reason to herself that the case was hopeless. She did not think that the devil's power was greater than the Savior's power. She came believing that He could make the difference, that He could deliver her daughter. Her faith, her great faith, the reason why her faith was great was because it was not deterred by the presence, by the greatness of the problem that she faced. She did not consider her problem to be insurmountable. Great faith always sees beyond the need to the supply, to the supplier. It is not deterred or hindered by the adversity that we face, the trouble that has come upon us to perplex us. Great faith looks to the Lord, and it sees in Him the answer to every need, the remedy for every plight. Why did the Lord say she had great faith? The Lord said she had great faith because her faith rose above the adversity. Her faith rose above the problem and saw the One who could meet the problem, who could solve the problem, who could answer and supply the remedy. Now surely this incident touches upon a situation that is always close to the hearts of the people of God. This is a situation where a mother's heart is broken because of the state of her daughter. Her problem has to do with a loved one, with someone who was her kith and kin, her offspring, and surely that's one of the areas where the people of God face the greatest problems and the greatest difficulties, and they face the greatest heartaches and the greatest sorrows. By nature, our loved ones are under the power and dominion of Satan, the spirit of disobedience that works in those who are not saved. Every individual born into this world is born under the power and the dominion of Satan. They have a fallen nature, and they have a nature that is under the power of the devil. And therefore, this is a situation that is always relevant to the people of God. We have loved ones not saved. We have those near and dear to us that are under the power of the devil, controlled by a sinful nature and domineered by the power of the devil. And it is the devil's aim to seek to ruin and to wreck and to destroy. Yet faith casts not its eye upon the power of the devil, but upon the power of Christ. And faith says He is able, and He is merciful, and He is gracious. He can make the difference. He can save. He can deliver. He can transform. That's what this woman did. She has this problem. She has this great adversity in her life, this trouble that has come in the case of her daughter. But she doesn't sink in despair. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him. Faith rises above and beyond the problem, and faith comes to the Lord with the problem. The Lord described this woman's faith as great because it was undeterred by present adversity. Let me say tonight, there is no problem in your life or my life. There is no adversity in your life or my life. There is no heartache or sorrow or burden in your life or my life that the Lord is not able to meet the need of. He's able to meet the need. And if we will only have faith as this woman did, though it may not be as great as this woman's faith, yes, we should seek that faith and strive toward it, but even if our faith is not as great as this woman's faith, Yet our faith will always bring us to Christ. It will always lift us beyond the problem to see the one who is the solution to the problem, the one who has grace that is all sufficient. Her faith was undeterred by present adversity. But then notice secondly here that her faith was undeterred by personal depravity. This woman was not an Israelite. She was not a daughter of Abraham, but a foreigner, a Canaanite. She knew herself to be not only a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel, but one who was unworthy of the mercy and the goodness of the Lord. When the Lord spoke to this woman and said that it was not fit, it was not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs, verse 27, she said, "Truth, Lord. It is the truth what you have spoken. I am likened to one of those dogs. I'm not one of the children of the commonwealth of Israel. I'm not one of those natural descendants of Abraham. Yes, Lord, that's the truth. I'm outside. I'm unworthy. I'm undeserving." She was acknowledging in that statement the sinfulness and the unworthiness of her condition. She did not deny it. She did not try to hide it. She acknowledged herself to be a sinner, having no claim upon the Lord or His mercy. She knew that He was not obliged to grant her mercy or to show her grace, yet she still came. And that tells me that she did not let her personal unworthiness deter her. Here is faith. Here is great faith. Faith is not introspective. It's not always looking within and seeing the unworthiness of our heart and then on account of that staying away from Christ. Faith looks to Christ for the answer. Take, for instance, the example of salvation. Faith does not look within and say, "What a vile sinner I am. There is no hope for me, therefore." Faith says, "Truth, Lord. I am a sinner. I am undeserving. But Thou art merciful. And Thou art a gracious God. And Thou art a God who delights in mercy and has promised to be merciful to all who will confess their sin and turn unto Thee." That's what faith does. Faith says, "Truth, Lord, that's what I am. But this is what Thou art." And the same is true for every aspect of the Christian life from the point of conversion onwards. Faith does not say, "I am so unworthy, therefore the Lord will never bless me. The Lord will never hear my prayer. The Lord will never meet my need." No, faith acknowledges the unworthiness of our heart, but it is not deterred by it. Rather, it sees the promise of God to bless all who call upon Him. The promise is not based or dependent upon our worthiness. It is based upon His faithfulness and His graciousness. What the Lord is teaching us here, when He describes this woman's faith as great, is that faith is not fixated upon self. Faith is fixated upon Him. Its object is Christ. Faith is not based upon what we are. Faith is based upon what He is. You see, there are so often it is the case with Christians that they look within and they begin to think to themselves, "I'm unworthy." And we are unworthy, with nothing of ourselves to boast in. But so often that introspective look leads to despair And it brings us to the place where we say, the Lord therefore will not bless me. The Lord therefore will not hear me. The Lord therefore will not answer me. The Lord therefore will not meet my need. And what that is actually doing, that's not faith, that's unbelief. And unbelief is always based upon self. But faith, you see, is not based upon what we are. It's based upon what the Lord is. This woman came to the Lord. And what was the first thing that she did? The first thing that she did was to recognize who he was. What he was. Have mercy upon me. She recognized that he is merciful. She knew her unworthiness. She knew her sinfulness. And she says, truth, Lord, that's what I am. But I'm coming to you not on the basis of what I am. I'm coming to you on the basis of what you are. And you are merciful. And you're gracious. And you're faithful to your promise. Faith, you see. Faith sees what Christ is. And it's not deterred by personal depravity. Let me tell you, any blessing that the Lord gives us, it's not based on what we are. If that was the principle upon which the Lord worked and the principle upon which he operated, then every one of us would be cast into hell. The Lord has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He has dealt with us according to his grace. According to his mercy. And that is the way that he always deals with us. Not because of what we are, but because of what he is. And faith sees that. Faith sees that. And faith recognizes that even though I have no merit in myself, though I have no claim upon his goodness or his mercy or his grace, yet because of what he is and who he is, I will come to him. And I will present my problem to him, knowing that he is gracious and he is merciful. Her faith was undeterred by her present difficulty, her present calamity and adversity. But her faith was also undeterred by her personal depravity. But then notice finally that this woman's faith was undeterred by providential perplexity. When this woman called upon the Lord at first, she was met with a very strange and perplexing response from the Lord. Look at this prayer in verse 22. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. You can see there's respect there. There's recognition of who he is. There's reverence. And yet in verse 23, but he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. What a strange response. A perplexing response. For many people, such a response would bring an end to their seeking. They would give up. And they do so because they did not seek the Lord out of a faithful heart and a humble heart. People who give up are people who seek the Lord with an attitude that the Lord somehow owes them something. And when he doesn't answer them immediately in the way that they want, they make a judgment upon the Lord and they turn away from him. But this woman didn't do that. She didn't turn away in anger. She didn't turn away with a murmuring, complaining spirit saying, I went to him with my need and he didn't even answer me. She didn't have that spirit. She just kept at it. At first with the disciples and then at last with the Lord himself. You see, she did not take his silence as being a denial. But he answered her not a word. The Lord was silent. But she didn't take that silence as denial. You can see her faith here. Now, a person who doesn't have faith, a person who comes to the Lord with a proud heart, with a selfish heart, when the Lord is silent to them, they always interpret that as a denial. And then they judge the Lord and they blame the Lord. And they say, the Lord didn't do that. When I prayed, the Lord didn't answer. But that's not how this woman responded. When the Lord was silent, she saw in that silence a ray of hope. Because he had not plainly denied her request. And whilst he did not plainly grant it, yet she saw hope in the Lord's silence. What faith is that? That's why the Lord said her faith was great. She saw hope in the Lord's silence. That even when he had not answered her a word, the very fact that he had said neither yea nor nay, she still saw there was a ray of hope. And so she kept on seeking. She went to the disciples. The disciples said to the Lord, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's keeping on at this. She crieth. It's perpetual. It's continual. And then we find that the Lord answered the woman indirectly. He didn't answer her directly. He answered the disciples. In verse 24, and he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She didn't let that deter her. For in verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast at the dogs. You see what's happening? First of all, there's silence. And then he answers indirectly to the woman through the disciples. And then when he answers her directly, he says, it's not meet, it's not fit, it's not proper to take the children's bread and to cast at the dogs. And yet still she doesn't give up. She says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Oh, you see, there's still hope there. You see her faith. Because she can see this. Yes, I'm not of Israel. And I'm outside of the commonwealth of Israel. And I know that there's bread for the children. But it's not the bread, it's the crumbs that I'm looking. And even the dogs eat the crumbs. Do you see her faith? And every time she's clinging on to what the Lord says, and she's finding something that she can rest on, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. An unbelieving heart judges the Lord's silence and the Lord's delays as denials. But faith does the opposite. Silence is not denial, nor is delay a denial. And until he says no, I will keep on seeking him for the answer to my problem. There are times, and there will be times in our lives when God will not answer us immediately. When it will seem as if silence is the answer. And there will be times when it seems as if the Lord delays. And perhaps he answers indirectly, and perhaps the answer at first is perplexing. And we don't understand it all. But he's only testing, he's only trying our faith to strengthen it. That through that strengthened faith will come the greater blessing. Faith in such times will hold on. It doesn't give up. Great faith perseveres and it prevails, receiving the Lord's answer. And what was the Lord's answer? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Why did she have great faith? Why was her faith great? It was great because it was undeterred by present difficulties and present adversities. It was great because it was undeterred by her personal depravity and unworthiness. And it was great because it was undeterred by providential perplexities. She carried on. And she kept at it. And the Lord honored her faith. And the Lord always honors faith. The Lord always honors faith. And if we will but trust His word and lean upon His promise, holding on when the fiercest winds beat against us, when everything seems to be the contrary, if we will but trust His word, then we will find that God is always true to His word, and God will always honor faith. He will always honor faith in Himself and in His word. May the Lord give us faith like the faith that this woman had. O woman, great is thy faith.